Yeah, go ahead and call.
Whoa. Got some feedback there.
All right, let's go ahead and call our work session to order. It is Tuesday, October 16th at 6:07 PM. And we are starting tonight with a presentation on rate of choice voting.
Thank you, Mayor, for the opportunity. And first of all, I need to apologize to you all. We were on in a previous agenda, and I went to City Hall and by mistake, and it was there. Nobody was there. You were meeting here. I just didn't get the memo that you should have been here.
No problem.
So anyway, I appreciate it. Second bite at the apple. My name, just by way of introduction, my name is Corey Oldroyd. I come to you as a former legislator and interested in this issue because of my experience as a legislator years ago in a Republican convention. Something that was used and sometimes continues to be used. To begin with, I just want to ask a question. How many of you know when your primary elections are held? I know Colton probably does. Typically, and the reason I ask that is you all would know when they're at, but typically the general public doesn't know when a primary election is held. Or a lot of times they don't. It becomes confusing because sometimes it's during or state primary election could be different than for a municipal primary election day. So the reason I bring this up is ranked choice voting. If cities adopt this, primary elections go away, right, and the costs associated with that. It comes down to a general election, and that's it. And I'll get into that a little bit more. Just as a little introduction, this past legislative session, House Bill 35 was introduced, and I became aware of it because of my time on Capitol Hill. I serve on the board of a group called Voterize, which is a group dedicated to try and motivate the millennial vote, younger vote. And our board became interested in this because the young people were interested in this. And so as this bill came forward in the legislature, I provided some backup testimony in committees. And then after the session ended and the bill had passed, the folks that were promoting this approached me and asked if I could help with educating city councils on this option. And I said I'd be happy to do that. So that's where we're at today. You're one of, I think I made this presentation a few other times to other city councils. House Bill 35 creates a pilot program. It starts the 1st of January, this next year. And it is limited to municipal elections. There's a sunset date on it of 2026, basically so that the legislature is forced to reevaluate whether or not this experiment or this pilot was a good idea or is a good idea. There's opt-out processes in place in the bill, and if you look at the code related to House Bill 35, it's very prescriptive in terms of counts and recounts and that sort of thing. So the bill, in terms of just going forward, is very clear as far as the Lieutenant Governor's office goes, which are committed or have the responsibility for running the elections in the state. The interesting thing about House Bill 35 is the sponsors. If you look at the sponsors and you know anything about the Utah legislature, Representative Mark Roberts is about as far right as you can be on an issue. And Representative Chavez Howe, which is a co-sponsor of this bill, is about as far left as you can be on the issue. One's a Republican, one's a Democrat. Representative Chavez Howe sponsored the bill 2 years ago when it was proposed to implement this statewide. Representative Mark Roberts pulled it back a little bit to make it a simply apply for municipal elections, odd year elections. Senator Howard Stevenson, again, one of the more conservative members in the legislature, was the co-sponsor of the Senate. You can see by the vote that the legislature liked the idea. 64 votes yes, 2 no. The 2 no's were no's because they wanted it to go farther. They wanted to give cities more options instead of just limiting it to ranked choice voting. 22 yay votes and no nay votes in the Senate. Let me talk a little bit about the benefits of ranked choice voting. The first benefit is voter engagement. We see this, and if you look at the data, as far as other areas that have done this, it's been shown that voters become more engaged when ranked choice voting is used for an election. They become more informed because they have to make choices. It's not just hearing from one person and say, okay, that's my guy or gal. In ranking candidates, you're trying to learn about each of the candidates that you have an opportunity to vote on, so they become a little more informed. The campaigns as election or running for election are much more civil. And I'll illustrate that by saying that if Councilman Wright, or excuse me, Joel, city attorney, and Mayor Reese were to be running against me, we would want to try and put our best foot forward, not only for our voters, but for the voters that would be supporting the other people as well. So we're less inclined, and it's been shown, the campaigns are much more civil and more issue-based rather than some of the negative campaigning you see in today's politics. And a particular note, cost savings. As I said, if an election is run using ranked choice voting, you can largely, in fact, you can do away with the primary election. With the population, I think your population is somewhere around 10,000 City Hills, or Cedar Hills. Do you know how many registered voters you have, Nicole?
About 5,400.
5,400, okay. I'll use the 5,400 as an illustration. Let's say you had an election and you had 4 people running for a council seat. And only one of the council seats. I don't know if you have a large seats or not. But those 4 would then require a primary election in order to whittle down the choices to 2. With 5,400 registered voters, we've been quoted in Salt Lake County, the clerk charges to run their elections about $2 per registered voter. So it's about $10,000 in order to run a primary election. Obviously, in larger cities, that savings is significantly more. Doing away with an election or just going to a general election allows you to do away with that primary election. So I've given you each a ballot, a sample ballot, and what an election could look like if we would be voting on the dessert party, right? How this is set up, you can see it's you've got the columns, you've got the lines, and then basically what you're asking the voter to do is select in order who they would prefer on a particular race. So in the pie race, you've got what, apple, pecan, blueberry, and pumpkin. So my favorite's apple. My second favorite's pumpkin. I'd just be marking my first choice as apple. My second is pumpkin. And then the like. They rank these in the order of preference, and then the instructions for them are very straightforward for the voter. so that they know how to mark the ballot as well. As they're arranged, I'll have a video. Oh, I said I don't have the video.
I don't think we're able to play a video. We can send them the link, though.
Okay.
Get them the. We'll make sure that they get that.
In fact, I sent a link to a video of how this works as well. A video of the Minneapolis forward. At any rate, you kind of see how this works. Candidates are ranked according to the voter's preference. If a candidate in a ranked choice ballot receives 50% on the first round, the election's over. You're looking for a majority election. If they don't receive 50%, then whoever receives the lowest number of votes is dropped off the ballot, and then their second choice then comes into play for the other remaining candidates that are left on the ballot. Same process can be used in at-large seats, and I'm not sure how Cedar Hills, do you have
also
districts?
All at-large.
Okay, so how that would work is if you had two people running for election in a municipal election, and you had seven people running for those two seats, whoever hit the 50% threshold would then be pulled off the ballot, and then you'd go to the second round until 50% threshold was met by a majority as well. So not only dropping them off, but also putting them forward can be used using ranked choice voting. So the question often comes to us is how would a city go about doing this? Utah County is actually one of the counties that has embraced this. If the cities want to choose, you're not obligated to do it. If you felt like this was something the electorate would be interested in and benefit from, then contracting with the county clerk for your elections wouldn't be any different. They would just run it using a ranked choice election as opposed to the traditional election. The equipment that is required for this, Utah County has upgraded their equipment. There would be a nominal software patch that would be required for the equipment.
Voting results
by now. We've been quoted by the ESNS equipment vendors. Actually, Dominion, you have Dominion. Dominion is the same as the voting equipment used in Utah County, of $10,000 per county. There are a number of other cities in the county that are showing some interest in this. None have actually made the application yet to move this direction, but we anticipate a few cities in Utah County making that jump. And then vote by mail. Some have asked questions, how does this work with vote by mail? The vote by mail, recognizing a vote by mail ballot is a separate process in terms of tabulating the ballot. So what you have going on is in the vote by mail ballot, you have somebody actually approving or recognizing that this is the person. The person that signed this is actually the person that sent this mail and ballot to the county or to the city in this case. And then from that, then the tabulation begins. So there are two separate processes that take place so that there's no conflict with using vote by mail and ranked choice voting. As I said, it eliminates primary elections at significant cost savings. How cities have used this when they're just starting this, some of the cost savings could be utilized by the education that would be required or could be implemented for the electorate. The education for the electorate using the new process could be as simple as your vote by mail registration card having an explanation as the new process and what to look for. In addition to that, social media has been used as well as civic clubs. Utility bill inserts have also been used to educate the electorate as well. As a group, there is a national group called Ranked Choice Vote Resource Center, which also could be tapped as a resource to help educate the electorate as to the changes. And this is what the video shows. We'll skip this. So if Cedar Hills is interested in doing this, there's a couple of things that need to take place. Before January 1st of this coming year, you would have to have a resolution passed, and then your elections clerk, Colleen, would then take that to the county, and they in turn would then let the lieutenant governor's office know by, again, January the 1st of this coming year. And then from that, then the county clerk, if you were to contract with them, would then begin the process in terms of just getting the software updates necessary for running a ranked choice election. So, and I think that is the video, if you would, in fact, if you'll forward that to the council. The video is about a minute and a half is off, and it was put forward by Minneapolis. They use ranked choice voting in their city, and it basically just goes through very clearly how a ballot is used using ranked choice voting. There are a number of places across the country that use ranked choice voting. Maine utilized it statewide, its first statewide use. It's used in Minneapolis. Santa Fe used it for their city elections. Recently, there are some cities in California, also in the Northwest, that some cities in the Northwest have utilized it as well. With that, I'd be happy to entertain any questions that you might have.
Let's take your turn.
I know Colleen did send us out that video. I don't know if the council has the chance to watch it.
Was it the video? His video?
Probably.
Yeah. We can resend it.
We'll resend it.
So I've got a few. First of all, you mentioned that impact would be probably required to get this work on whatever council.
The video.
Yeah, probably. Does that allow you to switch between either method, or would it commit the system to just doing the ranked choice voting from that point forward?
No, you could change. So if you wanted to do ranked choice voting for an election, see if how the citizenry respond to it, there's no commitment beyond the one election.
Okay, good. So that was one. And then how are write-in candidates handled?
In the same way as they are today, you'd just tabulate those in terms of the number of, and then they would rank those.
Yeah, got it. And then I heard about this a while ago, and there was a concern about one person, one vote on this. Are there any legal challenges that would put us at risk? Not put us at risk, but if we like committed money to this, that would be the only risk to buy this patch. And then it got overturned. Are there any legal challenges against
that?
No. Okay.
No, they haven't been good enough.
Other questions?
So, my other question, I was trying to figure out how. I was looking at the San Francisco thing. So, when you say four rounds, how does that, the same ballots are analyzed four times?
Actually, yeah, that's exactly what happened. The scanner would scan the ballot, and then
if somebody hits 50%, you're done.
If nobody hits the 50% threshold, which is another benefit, you will always have a majority election in using ranked choice voting. You'll never have a plurality election for elected officials. Do you understand?
No, I mean, low ties, I mean.
No, plurality is less than 50%. So you would never have an election less than two.
You're gonna say you're always gonna have
second. All
you would always.
Any one person had a lot of second and third choices, but they still ended up number one.
Yes. So what would happen is if, and in fact, the video showed in that election of the video, Carlos, I think is the name of the person, gets more of first place votes, but Hamir, I think, is the gets second place. But the underballots, the ones that drop off, put Hamir above Carlos because he didn't have as many second place votes. So, I mean, occasionally that's how it would happen. But that person would always be elected again with the majority of the electorate hitting above the 50% threshold. Did I answer that?
Yeah, it's intriguing. Who came up with this?
In fact, Australia has used it for their national elections. It's
we gotta go check out how it works.
Other parts.
Maybe in a delegate, they do it often in those situations as well.
Yeah. That's true. The only difference in a convention is you're not filling out the ballot completely in one city.
Right.
You're doing it the next round by round. In this case, you would fill out prior to whether or not you knew you needed an additional round where your second choice or your third choice would be. So the gamesmanship sometimes that you have seen in conventions that I've been part of, it isn't possible.
I mean, the only thing I see is the initial campaign could just be unruly. I mean, you could have 15 people running for three seats. I mean, your city's going to be peppered with signs like nobody's business. But
only for the general election.
Yeah, instead of having that for a primary election, mm-hmm. and then having another general election.
True.
And then the other thing that I've thought about related to this, you could also limit the time frame whereby candidates or campaigning. So starting on Labor Day, typically that's when campaigns start, at least the campaigns that I've ever run. I'm not knocking on doors before Labor Day and people look, who are you? You know, I mean, I'm still there, but they're not really paying attention. But then after Labor Day, they start to kind of queue in and whatnot. So.
Does the county have any concern with the handful of cities doing it one way and the majority of the cities doing it another?
Good question. And the answer to that is no. And the reason is because it would just amount to marking, having a field on the ballot that and they already do this for your ballots. So there's a field on the ballot that identifies that ballot as a Cedar Hills ballot. And then the computer just sorts it accordingly. So it'd just be a matter of identifying Cedar Hills as a ranked choice voting city, and then it would go to the spot in terms of just sorting the ballots accordingly, as far as the county goes.
Corey, I'm curious, like, what if someone says, you know, I live next door to Corey, I'm going to vote for him as my first choice, I'm not going to hurt my brain and try and figure out, like, I'm just done. Would that person vote be eliminated, or would it just go?
It would only be eliminated if I lost,
okay.
If I wasn't one of the top two in the ballot. And then it's what's called an exhausted ballot. Generally, what has been found, though, is where this is done, people like the option of being able to say, well, I like Corey, but I like Joel, too. I like Corey a little bit better, so I'm going to put him 1-2. The other question that's come to us is, what happens if somebody just ranks somebody 1 for all of the rounds? I mean, it has the same effect. If you're 1, you'll always be 1. In subsequent rounds, as long as you stay in the ballot. If you drop to one of the lowest level,
then you're dropped off. Your one no longer is valid. It's an exhausted ballot.
All right, now, just to be blunt, I mean, only, you know, 5-6 years ago, we only had about 20% of our citizens voting, and that was better for many places. But then we started mailing the ballots, and that's essentially doubled in our participation. Good. Here's the thing, though, this hurts the brain a little bit. You have to think a little while. I mean, how much, remember the famous butterfly ballot in 2000 in Florida?
Yeah.
This is a difficult thing. I mean,
the chat.
Because you've been around politics. I mean, some people are getting mad at us. Is it 5% or is it 15% that are getting mad at us when we try to do something more complicated like this?
Yeah. Generally, if, and part of this has to do with the education in terms of letting the electorate know that you've got additional choices. And then in the education process, they're feeling, and it's, you're going to have a few say, you know, why are you doing this to me? But generally, the larger percent that are saying, thank you for giving me my ballot matters. If for example, let's use the last presidential election as an example. Evan McMullen, Mitt Romney, or Donald Trump, rather. Evan McMullen, Donald Trump, and Hillary Clinton. Here in Utah, Evan McMullen was somebody that a lot of people liked, but a lot of people weren't comfortable voting for him, thinking, I'm just throwing away my ballot because of voting for somebody that doesn't have a choice. Here, they would have the choice of being able to vote for Evan. And then, if Trump or Hillary doesn't hit 50%, their second choice then comes into play. So that's another benefit that the voters kind of look at in terms of their ballot making having significance. So.
Any other questions?
What I would encourage you to do is, and we can help with this if you're interested, is do a little bit of homework in terms of the number of times you had to have a primary election, and then also the cost for that primary election. Obviously, if there's not a benefit to the city, we see the benefits beyond cost, just in terms of engagement, more civil campaigns going on, but a lot of times you're driven by cost as well. So as you do your homework and consider this, if you have interest in this, we would love to be able to have Cedar Hills be one of the cities here in Utah County that gives us a try. And again, in order to do this, you got to let Lieutenant Governor Thomas know by January 1.
One more question. This is just for municipal elections, right, with the state?
Yes.
Okay, so what would that look like if it were, let's say we do this next November, or let's say we're this November, we've got to elect people to Senate and national elections. Is there going to be like a mixed ballot, different ballots, or what does that look like?
Maine had a mixed ballot. And the reason is because of the constitutional requirement for requiring plurality in their constitution, which is kind of weird. I didn't really care about that. But in answer to your question, is 2 years ago the bill was introduced to be statewide for all elections. I think in Representative Roberts' wisdom, he saw this as an opportunity to see if this is something that the electorate would like on municipal election. And then, I suspect that the state will then take that information and go forward from there.
Okay. We still have to figure out how that.
Yeah,
pretty good thing.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the opportunity to present. And again, if you have any questions, Stan Lockhart is my patriot and artist on this issue. He and I are available to help you in any way.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, let's move on to our closed session items, so we have motion.
I'm going to make a motion to go into closed session pursuant to Utah State Code 52.4204 and 54.205, 1E, to discuss purchase, exchange, or delivery.
Thank you so much.
Second, I'm passing on to Dennis, all those in favor.
Aye.
Close now.